No, he had an argument with a friend. The friend said, this practice is wrong. The guy said, no, scripture says. He was trying to argue. The guy said, that's what Kenny Higgins said. Ah, that one kept quiet, like, oh, okay. If Kenny Higgins says so, maybe he's correct too. And that's a fact. You grow up like that. And you see, and the thing is that if somebody like Kenny Higgins says something like that, you don't throw it away instantly. You hear it and go home and persuade yourself he's wrong from the scriptures. Otherwise, he's right. That he's right until proved otherwise. Do you understand me? Now, so when you now imagine a man of those kind of that kind of caliber being caught in a trespass. Do you understand me? It weakens a man, like, what could have happened? No, imagine David. Baba David. Even David was so embarrassed he wanted to cover it. That was the main error. Alright? The attempt to cover. The trespass was bad. But what he was punished for was the attempt to cover. Alright? God would have judged the first trespass appropriately. He would have known how he would have settled it. But he wanted to cover up instead of going to God in prayer. It was after God dealt harshly with him that he realized that he should go to God in prayer. Now bear these things in mind. Now, I was saying that, so you observe these things. Do you know what Paul said in summary? Fearing lest you yourself be tempted. So I told myself, one day I'll be as great as this man. What is their problem? Do you get what I'm saying? It's no matter, I'm above that. That's not the point. The point is that, you know, like they have a saying in my place, that it's when a man has not seen war that he calls himself a strong man. Do you understand that? We finish them. When they fire the first bullet over your head, you will bow down and realize that you cannot fight. For that reason, you have to be careful when you are judging people. You have to be extremely careful. But let's forget what their problem is. As I was learning and growing, I discovered the solution of God. That's what I'm saying. That's where I'm going. Do you understand me? Now, fearing lest you yourself be tempted. He said, he was heard in that he feared. There's one principle I want to explain to you. That is the principle of the fear of God. One, before I talk about the fear of evil. Remember, a wise man fears evil, therefore he departs from it. But why should he fear evil? I will tell you. The reason is because evil can destroy him. Do you understand me? That if evil gets a hold on him, God will find it hard to deliver him. When Jesus said, pray, deliver us from evil, he wasn't saying deliver us from punishment. He was not saying deliver us from sicknesses or afflictions. He was telling them, pray that I will not fall into temptation. Remember, when he was going that night to pray, what did he tell the disciples to pray about? You know, that's what he told them. He said, I have already told you how to pray. And you know the interesting thing? All he wanted them to do was kneel down and say, Father, deliver us from evil. He didn't want big words. Not, Father, thou art the one that can invert and invert your children from the depths of the... No, it's not necessary. All he wanted them to do was kneel down and say, Father, deliver us from evil. Remember when he prayed, all he said was, if possible, let this cup pass over me. Nevertheless, let your will be done. Are you following the point I am making? That is, when he told them, pray like this, deliver us from evil. He said, pray that you don't fall into temptation. Because if a man falls into temptation, he will be judged appropriately. Do you understand the point I'm making? Job was told, he said, maybe your children sinned and God delivered them into the power of their transgression. Do you follow the point I am making? That is, sin, the result of a wrong spirit, causes a man to be destroyed. Do you follow the point I'm making? It said that because of the sin of adultery, a man is reduced to a loaf of bread. Do you understand me? That is, it is the knowledge of the consequences of evil that makes the man fear it. Now, I've not forgotten what I'm saying. I want to talk about the fear of God. Alright? The fear of God is simple. But, that means, you need to understand what you mean when you say fear of God. But I have found out that there is no fear of God really in the heart of anybody that does not fear any man. Let me see what I'm saying. God said, how can you say you love God that you don't see, when you have not yet loved your neighbor that you can see? When I say fear any man, I don't mean you are afraid of everybody. That is, there are people God has put in subjection to. If you don't have the reverential fear for them, you don't even fear God. Am I getting too technical? That is, if my son is growing up, I'm teaching him the fear of God. And he doesn't fear me. God said, you don't even fear God. Do I? Because if you can't fear your father that you see, how can you tell me you fear God that you don't see? That is, as far as God is concerned, I should be more worried about offending those of you that listen to me committing adultery than offending God. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That is, a great minister shouldn't be afraid that what will God do to me is what will the church do, what will happen to the church if this happens. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen, I am the most blessed man on earth. You can't have a wife better than mine. Now, I don't care the kind of prayer you want to pray. You can start praying now. Oyekachukwu, your wife cannot be better than my own. God gave me a very good wife. You know, today I was listening to Pastor Paul. That's my pastor in Lagos. I listen to him a lot. And he said something just in passing. I just want to chip this one in. He said that women who are married to believers, they should thank God. He said he went somewhere and he went for something. He didn't tell us what. He said he didn't want people to start asking him too many questions. So he sat amongst many men. And obviously those men were not believers. So he didn't know them, so he wasn't really talking. And they started talking. All of them were talking about their girlfriends and all their activities and everything. And so he told himself, like, wow, are you serious? This is how this man live. Now, he's not married, we're just looking. He said, people are wicked though. He said, that was what was going in his mind, that these people are very wicked though. He said, the best of them all said that, anyway, shall whatever happens, take care of your children. So that is the only positive thing that anyone there said. So he was like, he couldn't tell them that he was a pastor. He just kept quiet because he was so embarrassed for them. That's why he said that, that women that marry Christian men, that you were very lucky. He said, after some time, they now told him and said, oh yeah, this man, you are not talking now. He said, he just smiled. He says, one of them now said that, these quiet people are the most dangerous ones. When he said that, I was into a tip. The whole church fell over with laughter. You could hear the laughter in the background. They didn't know he was the pastor. They didn't know he was keeping quiet out of shock. Now, that's just by the way, all right? Now, let me continue with my own story. Now, I am very privileged and I'm very happy I married a very good Christian woman. Do you understand? My wife is a very good person. Thank God she's not here. So, this is the truth I'm telling you. She's a very, very, very good person. Now, let me explain this. A woman cannot trust her husband on this earth more than my wife trusts me. It's not possible. Come and show me one. I don't believe that ability resides in humankind beyond that level. No, it's true. It is true. I have seen people that their husband can't smile two times to a woman. My wife, if I like, smile three times, hug a woman, carry a woman. He doesn't. You get my point? Her skin, she doesn't even notice. You know, you have to tell her, say, see your husband has been smiling. And she will look at you like, you must be crazy. My husband always smiles. Do you get my point? Bear that in mind. Now, I heard there was a story of one woman who trusted her husband so much, except that the man was not trustworthy. And when she found out, she went mental. True gist. This is the fear of God and the love of God. I will never put my wife at the risk of going mental. Do you understand the point I am making? Now, this is what they call the fear of evil. That is, this is the consequence of this kind of thing. Church will scatter, wife goes mental. When I think about that, I get afraid. And God said, with prayers and supplication, with that kind of fear, you will obtain grace and mercy. See, I told you I was not at risk. That is why. That is, he is able to do far above exceedingly all I can ever think about. That is, there is grace that is realized through Jesus Christ. Look, I found that prayer is very simple. It is not, brethren, we have to pray. I heard people say all the time that if I can't fear, I can't feel your prayer. That's your problem. Who's praying to you? All I will do is, Father, I have seen this happen to this man in this position. I'm planning to get beyond there. The scriptures have told me that this is the risk people like this run. Solomon said, I gather to myself the pleasures of all men, many concubines. That is, God, I have seen in the scriptures. And the Bible makes it very clear that he that commits adultery is not wise. After reading through the scriptures, I say, what are you looking for? Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. It's a very simple prayer. It's not hard. It's not hard. Listen, Jezebels that want to die should try me. No, I know what I'm saying. Because if you determine your mind, I will subdue this man. I curse you to death by the power of God. Because your life is worth less to me than my wife's mentality. That is, I'd rather 1,000 women die than for my wife to become crazy. You understand that there's a death sentence for somebody who wants to die early. You know, if you say a woman that wants to die, say, just go and try Pastor Banky. You will soon die. You will choke afternoon on the road. You will drink Fanta and choke on it and die there. I told that spiritual things, they are the most powerful things. They will think that she had one abnormality in the neck. It's a lie. It's my spirit that killed you. Do you understand the point I'm making? That is, there is nothing like fear of God. If there is no man or woman or somebody you see that there is a passion with which you don't want to offend the person. Do you get my point? That is what drives a man to prayer, and the prayer is effective. They said they sacked Afabola Balogun. He chopped 1 billion naira. Me, I'm not moved in that. So 1 billion. It's because he saw 1 billion. All these thieves all over the road, that's dug local government out. You understand? If they saw half of the money Tafa saw, they would chop double what he chopped. And you know what the Bible says? Any man that sees another man taken in a trespass should fear. That's all. And takes that prayer, that fear, as a passion of prayer. Simple. You know, I was in my office the other day. I introduced Deji to one guy in my office. I said, this is the champion of the Biafran cause. The man is the minister of external affairs for Biafra. I'm just joking. The man said, no, he's not minister. He said, what are you now? He said, I'm the vice president. I said, no. Vice presidents don't have work. They are ceremonial people, you know. Their ministers are more powerful. Actually, do you know that's the truth? Ministers are more powerful than vice presidents. Ministers have constitutional portfolios, but vice president is at the, as our God wishes, he gives you work to do. If you want to really have power, you have to kill your God first, then constitution now promotes you to the job. So I tried to explain this to the man. He said, they don't have power, but they still the job. I said, this is a man who is fighting for the actualization of Biafra because of the oppression of the whole Federation of Nigeria. It has not been actualized, but he's looking for where he will chop. Did you said, this is what you were telling us about the spirit of corruption. It's everywhere. What will deliver a believer? God says, join the police. You are joining the police. Say, God, you're about to give me arm. Please, deliver me from evil that I will not oppress the poor. Very simple prayer. It doesn't have to be longer than that. Do you understand my point? Why you have to pray it is that if you are not delivered from that wrong spirit, it will kill you. It will disgrace you one day. No, you see, poor David. God just left David and used him as an example also. The Bible said these things were recorded for what? Our learning. The life of David is enough learning for everybody. At the peak of his power, look at the way he was humiliated. And God said, I will humiliate you. You know what God said? He said, when people hear it, they will be afraid to do what you did. That's what God told him. I said, God, spare me that trouble. All right? David's life is good enough an example. Don't add my own to it. No, look, there are enough examples in the scriptures. Do not add my own to it. Do you get the point I'm making? You understand what I'm saying? That is, when the Bible said that he was heard in that he feared, it was not, oh, I respect the Lord so much, it's reverence. No, it was real what? Fear. You are getting my point. It was real fear. It was not like, ah, I just respect God. How can you respect God? You can't respect God. You know what respect is? You have a choice not to do it. You understand what I'm saying? If you don't respect the man, nothing will happen to you. But he's talking about fear. Fear of God, fear of evil. That is, a wise man looks at the consequences and runs away. But God said it is not within a man to direct his steps. So what does he do? Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. We have an advocate with the Father. And like I said last time, the Bible says it clearly. Any man that said he has no sin, the word of God is not working in him. Why? Because if the word enters him, look, you are not perfect yet. There are little areas that God, as soon as God's word enters, it shows you are not right in this area. Maybe you don't like being cheated. And you feel like, yes, I'm a strong person. God said, you have a wrong and proud spirit. And you're going around bragging, you know. No, I don't tell that kind of thing. No. And you are going around bragging, feeling very happy. The angels look and shake their heads. Say, this one won't go far. The day you will find out is when the word enters into you. And you find out suddenly, oh, so this is a bad spirit. Grace and mercy. The time of need. God, deliver me of a wrong spirit. Simple. I told a lot of stories to explain something. That God never, oh God, is now understanding. A lot of the messages I hear are not gospel. God never planned for a believer to try. He planned for the believer to pray. Do you understand my point? That he told the Pharisees, you cite the scriptures because you think that in them you have life. He said the scriptures only testify. Do you understand? He said, this Christian creed is testify of me. He said, you should have now come to me, then I will have given you life. That is, when I find out that I don't have the right spirit. Now, you are getting the point I'm making. So that it's, God did not ordain for believers to try. I have, oh God, these days, I'm letting you know. I thank all of you that come here because you forced me to preach. And as I preach, don't think you're the only one getting blessed. Me, as you see me so. I'm chopping seriously. My own part of it is probably more powerful than your own. It's every day I learn it. Look, there is a testimony I want to give, but this must not be recorded. So I hereby command you in the name of the Lord to put pause on. So I've got too many weddings. People pray, preach and say, Jesus did his first miracle at the wedding, all right? And that what he was saying, like my pastor used to say, that's Pastor Paul, he would say that what Jesus was saying is that when wine finishes in your marriage, you should go back to Jesus, you understand? So that he will give you new wine. Now, that thing is true. And that is divine truth. Do you understand? Okay, now press the pause. I will never, listen to me, as my God lives. Counseling for marriage. No, I won't do it. I've asked for counsel once or twice before in the past, but not again. I have found the secret. It is wine that dries. Resurrection of wine, production of new wine, is grace and mercy. It is grace and mercy. It's not method. I've told you all these methods are ways. That is what God calls sweat of the brow. What God told Adam is that your wife will no longer stir up your passion, but with methods and marriage counseling will you enjoy her. That was the cause. Because the earth should have done what naturally produced for you. The earth should have produced. And if you understand, the man is like the farmer and the seed. The woman is like the earth. So if she's not producing for you, you are operating under a curse. You don't need counseling. You need grace and mercy. Do you get the point I'm making? Listen to me. I read the journal long ago, and he said that Paul said to him in a vision that they cannot recognize the gospel that's been preached on the earth today. I understand what Paul's problem was. That is with the gospel. He said, I don't know no man after the flesh. All I know is every man is in Christ. He is a new creature. That there is a comfort with which God comforts people in their affliction. Not methods. What we are doing is healing the daughters of my people's, the wounds of the daughters of my people slightly. Saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. You know, in America and Europe, psychiatrists are very rich people. Do you know why? They are actually pastors of the heathen. Most people are looking for who will listen to them. The psychiatrist is paid to listen. He doesn't have any sense. He just has a certificate. Then he starts telling you theories founded upon the words of a perverted mind like Sigmund Freud. I read a book recently, Addicted to Recovery, by two Christian doctors, man and his wife, on what the psychology wave is doing to American Christianity. There was a time they were digging into your past with hypnosis. I watched that one on Discovery. Every nut case in America was molested as a child. Every nut case, that every stupid, crazy man, is the problem, he was molested as a child. Every homosexual was molested as a child. Every man that can't do well was molested as a child. One woman, Mrs. Gloria Ochefuna, came to our church the other day to preach. He said he looked at them and said, you call this molestation? Come to Africa. A child that hawks groundnut morning till night. In America, 40 years time, she said, that's why I can't do well in life. Because when I was 5, I used to hawk groundnut. Harassment. Do you know the devil has trapped them into it? They can't see anything else. They can't see anything else. You know, they started remembering all kinds of things. All the girls said their fathers raped them. And they believed it. Until one day, all their testimonies, none of them checked out. There were some who said they were taken to area to churches whose basements they were doing a ritual killing there. Police will go and dig the poor church and the basement. They won't see any sign. After some time, they realized that these people are really mad. That's what ended that one. But people are still addicts of psychiatrists. They don't believe in God. Now, that's not my problem. These things the Gentiles seek after. No, so that's their problem. What I have as a problem is when Christians now collect psychology and try to use it to preach gospel. Why you behave the way you do by Tim and Beverly Lahe. God forbid I should ever put my hand on such nonsense. Let me tell you why you behave the way you do. You love iniquity and you hate righteousness, period. Let me tell you why you behave the way you do. You will not open your eyes and your heart to the truth that you are a proud person. And everybody that speaks against you is hurting your feeling. You don't want to admit it, that you are proud. Why do you behave the way you do? Because you love darkness. And you know if you come out into light, your deeds of darkness will be exposed. That's why you behave the way you do. You want to use Sigmund Freud to teach the gospel of Jesus, God punish you. Sigmund Freud was a madman addicted to sex. What kind of rubbish is all this? Christians go to school to go and learn that perverted man's mentality and come and start using it to preach gospel. Did they mad? You can choleric, sanguine. As long as all of you are mad, don't you understand my point? Gospel deal of Christ wise. Paul said, I don't care where you are coming from. All I know is if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become new. John said, if you are not experiencing it, he said, you have sin. Go and confess your sin. And God will forgive you and cleanse you of unrighteousness. Stop blaming one stupid personality. Brethren need to learn to overcome evil spirits, wrong spirits. And the only thing that does overcome evil spirits is the power of the prayer. Pray to the Father that has the advocacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, come on, come with this method. I've told you, all these steps to greatness are the steps that great men took. When they were taking it, it was not a step to greatness. They were walking normally. You have analyzed the life of Joseph to find how great men are made. Joseph was not trying to be great. He was doing what was natural. It's like somebody comes to me and says that, somebody has pneumonia. What do I think he should take as medicine? And I'm a doctor. I don't need to be thinking about greatness when I send him the prescription. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That was what the man did to Pharaoh. He just did to Pharaoh what he knew how to do. It was Pharaoh that went excited over it and decided to promote him to become great. Joseph never planned it like that. And that's the way this life is. All this plan, people, they tell you, you have to network with great people. David networked with who? Low people. People who jegbe say, those who couldn't pay money. Did that stop him from getting where he was going to? Paul, they kicked him out of his circle of greatness. Then he started from the beginning. Now you and I virtually worship, in quotes, Paul. I've told all these methods. People record the lives of those who succeeded and says methods of success. Listen to me. If I go mad, I will succeed. Then go and tell me madness is the method of success. Because God has ordained that I should succeed. It's true. People will copy my dress. They will think anointing is in the kind of dress. No, this life, I saw it happen. Mine won't be the first. Archbishop Benson in Dawsa, he wore agbada. Every preacher thought you had to wear agbada to have anointing. Then one day the man got tired and dropped and started wearing suit. All of them started wearing suit. May you be great. You will start following people. Grace and mercy is what people need. It's very simple. It's a simple prayer topic. Very, very simple. God did not say, go and learn method to overcome sin. He said, bring your sin. Come, confess it. Shekinah. And say, deliver me from evil. Deliver me from evil. Renew in me a right spirit. Create in me a new heart. Deliver me from presumptuous sins and errors I cannot understand. Simple. Hey, join the American and European madness. Giving explanation. I've said it. There's what I call excuses for Satan. The excuse you give to Satan to use to hold you in bondage. That's it. Excuses for Satan. This was supposed to be a summary. I hope I have summarized the point. Let us pray.